I'm Pastor Timothy Jones. Thanks for tuning in to the Impact Hour, brought to you by the Rehoboth Church of God in Christ. Prepare yourself for a powerful word from the Lord.
Come on, put your hands together for our friend, our brother, and our pastor, the Pastor T.W. Jones. Come on, give it to him, saints, as he comes.
Hallelujah. Woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. When I saw the sunrise and I felt the gentle breeze blow, I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. When I saw the sunrise and I felt the gentle breeze blow, I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. Father God, I thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I praise you because there's none like you. Now, God, anoint this vessel of clay to speak a word of healing, to speak a word of deliverance, to speak a word that will lift up the hung down head and mend the broken heart, that your word might be glorified and that your word might be honored, and that your word might be obeyed in your son Jesus' name. Come on, give God the praise all over this place. Well, I woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. Amen. If you're standing, amen. We honor all the fathers and all the mothers who had to act like fathers. Amen. Amen. Them too. Amen. Whole lot of absentee, illegitimate daddies. Amen. Ain't no illegitimate children. There's illegitimate parents. Amen. Because the Bible says the rod of correction will drive it far away. Amen. 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 Praise Jesus. So we thank God for each and every one of you, all the mothers in Zion. Amen. Everyone, amen. I thank God for my wife of 30 years. Bless God for her. Amen. Truly, amen. I'd like to say happy Father's Day. And amen to each and every father in this place. Amen. And to encourage you that if you ain't been a good one, start walking while I'm talking. Amen. You know, right. You can turn over a new leaf. Amen. The Bible, in the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter. Is it up there, brother? Did you get a chance? All right, don't worry about it. Genesis, the 41st chapter. I got him the message late. Amen. And all that's been going on, amen. Like a good father, I just showed up on my daughter in Kentucky Wednesday. Surprise! Amen. Daddy's home. Amen. You know, just you know, making sure that my money, you know, you can't be casting your pearls to the swine. Making sure I wasn't raising a son. Also, you know, just, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Stuff helps. Just, you know, let them know I'm crazy enough to just show up. You know, I love you that much that I'm going to inspect what I expect. All right? The Bible says in Genesis, the 41st chapter, the 50th verse through the 52nd verse, Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. Amen. It's so good. Amen. To be a father. Amen. I got my little girl. Amen. Maybe I scared her, but she was the first one to contact me this morning. She knows Daddy get up early and study, and her text was, "Daddy, what you doing?" Studying. She said, "Well, happy Father's Day." All right. So, amen. That, yeah, yeah. But, you know, there come one that's trying to rub her out, and she know that, so she know that little grandbaby. Amen. So she done upped the game. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But, amen, I think I named my daughter aptly. Amen. Timothy means one who honors God, and Sandra means defender of mankind. Did y'all know that? Did you know that? Yeah. So she got to honor God. She got to be able to defend her daddy. At least while I'm taking care of her. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter and the 50th verse, "And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my afflictions." You may sit down. On your way down, tell somebody, don't block the sunshine. All right. When tragedies of the past threaten your today and tomorrow, God has a way of helping us move on with our lives. The same is true with the difficulties of each day. So today, what I want to say to you is designed to emphasize the necessity of trusting in the power of God to save, heal, both naturally and spiritually. Fathers have to have a short memory. Amen. Sometimes you come home and the wife mad at you and the kids mad because the mama mad. And you know you ain't did nothing. So you just have to forget. Amen. Stuff that's done went on. When you're exhausted by difficulties of life, why continue? When nothing seems fair and there's no justice, why come back? When you have given all you can to ungrateful and unconcerned folks, why give again? When it seems God doesn't hear you, why pray anymore? Yet, God is good, and God is in control, and after the rain, he allowed the sun to shine again. In our text, Joseph had interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. He was rewarded greatly for doing that. Y'all know the story? He was placed in a position called T8, or second in command. He was given the ring of authority to seal documents. He had a gold chain put on his neck for service. Did y'all know that's what the gold chain was supposed to be for? For service. I know y'all think it's jewelry, but it meant he was somebody doing something. Well, he was dressed in the garments of high distinction, and he was given a new name, common in that day with promotion, Zaphnath Paneah. He was given a new name. You know, some of y'all came to Christ.
And though you wasn't given a new name, you stopped receiving the old name. You can't be Pookie when God saved you. You know, look, I'm just going to be, can I be honest? Because if we can't, we don't need to talk. I didn't know his name was Anthony until God saved him. He was Bubba. Amen, somebody. Amen. I ain't know his name was Anthony, and I heard somebody call him that. Okay. You see where I'm coming from? Sometimes God takes you, and in order to erase all that foolishness, he lets you use the name that your government name. That's why you got to be careful what you name your children. Because you don't want their government name to be something crazy. They have no choice. Get saved and have to get a nickname. Amen. That's why you gotta stop naming your kids after wine and Alize and Ripple. China. No, I'm sorry. I'm back. So he was also, the Bible says in verse 45, that they gave him the names of Fenat, Penal, or the God or the living one has spoken. Uh-huh. Sometimes, you know, basically he was down there and he interpreted the king's dream, and the king realized, hey, you know what? All these voodoo, hoodoo, and all these magical, mystical psychics couldn't tell me what was going on inside of me, but the living God, the living God spoke and let me know. Matter of fact, you know, God has a way of doing things that can't nobody else do. Now, you know, y'all got to understand something. The king asked an unreasonable request. Yes, sir. The king said, I dreamed. Now, I ain't gonna tell you the dream, but you interpret it. Yeah. Only a God could have answered him. You couldn't have even stumbled on what he dreamed. Why in the world would somebody think a king would have a dream about some cows? How do you even, you know, stumble on something like that? Only God could have given him the answer. And here's another thing. He didn't get out of jail right then. Well, I mean, he had been doing some things all along. And do you not know that Joseph was in a situation? Some of you fathers better realize this. Joseph, no matter what happened to him, he went from the pit. He went to a man's house. He became a servant. Then he went to prison. And no matter where God sent him, he got blessed there. In prison, he was being a blessing. He told the butcher and the baker, he gave them their faith. And do you know, no matter where he was, God was yet using him. And some of us complaining about where we are rather than let God use us in that place. Because if you let God use you where you are, you'll get out the way of the sunshine. You'll let the sunshine. Folks can't see God blessing you because you complaining. Clouds are designed to block what God really wants you to see. So now Joseph is in a position where he can sit back, and Joseph has two sons. And it's time to name those sons. Now, after all he'd been through, he could have named one prison tattoo. He could have named the other the running man, because that's how he got away from Potiphar's wife. He could have lost his mind, but now that it's time to name his sons, now that it's time to be a good father, now that it's time to do what a man's supposed to do, what does he remember? Shall the names be about his tragedies and suffering? No. The first one was Manasseh. The Lord made me forget all my toils and my father's house. Now, see, Joseph, you know, I want y'all to understand something about Joseph. Joseph brought some of this on himself. Now, this is my youngest brother, and he had four older brothers. Now, if he had a came and said, y'all sheaves gonna bow to my sheaves, we would have beat him up. Because we, you know, the basement was the arena. It was gladiator school. You know, preacher's kids don't get to do much. So we down in the basement. And big fish eat little fish. That's just how. And if he had got the. Look, we used to have some fun. We'd get some boxing gloves on Christmas, but by New Year's, they wore out. Because there was five of us. And I took a many whoopings. Yeah, because I was the second to the bottom. But the fact of the matter is, Joseph tells 11. Not FOMO, but 11. Your sheep's going by. Look, Joseph dared to dream. He dared to dream when everybody else was just doing status quo. Do you not know that when God has something on you, it'd be so deep on the inside of you that it'll come out your mouth? It'll be so enough bubbling on the inside of you. Fathers, let me make this clear to you. You got to get a clear picture of how to act in front of kids. My day, I would not know what was going on in some grown person's house because my parents didn't talk about what went on in other people's house. And, you know, just some things I did not know. Why? So I could honor grown folks. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to do you some good. But nowadays, with the internet and with these spineless, jelly-backed parents, they talk about everything. I'm back. Let's get back to our lesson here. So, the first little boy, when he called his name, he would be like, the Lord has made me forget all the bad that went on in my father's house. The next one, the Lord has called me to prosper. So every time he called these children's name, God was letting him know, I done something great and magnanimous in your life. Call Manasseh. And he would know that God had done something wonderful for him. And you know what's crazy is that God wants to do things for us. And because we allow the cares of this world and whatever's going on right now to be more important than who our God is in us. Cloudy days bring darkness. Darkness is just a part of the experience of the day. Darkness hides the truth. Do you not know that? Darkness hides the truth. If the light's dim enough, you can't even tell if your house is dirty. Any of y'all ever went to a restaurant and the lights was dim? Man love darkness. Now, but women, they see this stuff. And, wait a minute, there's a spot on my cup. And I'm saying where? Darkness hides the truth. Darkness hides stuff. But darkness has an uncertainty attached to it. When it's dark, you're not even sure which way to go. Sometimes you have to just wait on the Lord to bring you out of darkness. Other times when God is simply saying, come out of darkness into the light. So darkness comes with an uncertainty. And sometimes grief can be your darkness. Trouble is the darkness. Trouble is the cloud that's blocking your view, or pain. Sometimes rebellion and disobedience. Sometimes confusion. Sometimes it's frustration. And other times it's hopelessness. Men, fathers, don't ever allow frustration to stop you from doing the right thing. Don't ever feel like because you feel hopeless, you supposed to just throw in the towel. Don't ever feel like, let me tell you something, any real man, I don't care how bad your feet hurt, you get up and go to work. Let me make this clear to you. A headache ain't stopped most of us from going to work anyway. If headaches stopped people from going to work, Motrin would be out of business. Tylenol. But let me tell you where headaches have its, now, Pastor, I just wasn't feeling right. I woke up a little queasy. Woke up with the sniffles. But you know what I found out? The sniffles never stopped me from doing something I wanted to do. Sometimes family problems can be that darkness that will hold you. But the family problems are not the result of incompatible people, but people who fail to find out their purpose in God. Do you not know if you don't know what you created for, you don't know how to act? If you don't realize what your purpose is, if you don't realize what your wife's purpose is, you don't know how to treat it. Let me make this. Look, a hammer is a hammer, and a hammer is used to drive nails. A screwdriver is a screwdriver. Yes, you can eventually drive a nail with a screwdriver. But you will ruin the screwdriver in the process. So, a wife is designed. If you don't know what you designed, if you don't know the real purpose of you, yes, you can get away with doing some stuff, but you might be toothless at your 10th year reunion. You see what I'm saying? If you don't realize what God has and said, and if you don't realize what you purpose, you're supposed to be the father, the head. You're supposed to be an example of the way Christ loved the church. You're supposed to be able, you know, children ain't supposed to wake up to nonsense, you screaming and yelling. Because you bigger than everybody else. So you got to understand your purpose. So, you know, sometimes family problems is because you don't know what your purpose is. You don't know who you are. Look, if you know you in charge, you ain't got to tell nobody you in charge. I have never went to work where the boss said, I'm the boss around here. I ain't never experienced that. I don't know, have y'all? I ain't never experienced no buffoonery like that. I mean, I know who's in charge. That's the kind of stuff you find in homes where somebody trying to make themselves somebody they not. If you paying the bills and taking care of what you're supposed to, you ain't got to tell nobody who you are. Old great king live forever. I'm going on Amazon. That man, the Lord is. Why did Sarah call Abraham Lord? All right. Now I know I'm not supposed to be praising y'all, but I got to do what I got to do. I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get some praise when you leave here. Now, no matter what you've been going through and no matter how much fear the enemy has tried to put in you, there are too many people blocking the sunshine that God wants us to have. Why do I know God wants us to be in sunshine? Because the word says, grow in grace. Yeah. Nothing grows without sunlight. Look, I got this plant downstairs that my mama had, and it somehow worked its way into my laundry room. But for some reason, that aloe vera plant, it be curled, it be moving all this way, that way, and it finds itself just a little bit of light coming through the window, it'll get there. It got more sense than we got. It ain't complaining, it's just contorting itself to get to the sunlight. And you know what? Every now and then I get cut and I cut a piece off and it still work. even though I treat it like dirty laundry. It's sitting there. I ain't put no water in it. Have you? Do you see where I'm coming from? And I need y'all to understand something. God wants you not to get in the way of how he's doing things, but he wants you to get with the program that'll help everybody know that if you just get out of my way, I'll let the sun come in and I'll brighten your day and I'll do something magnanimous in your life. Satan lies keep our days dark, but don't you be the lampshade that keeps it dark. Doubt and fear says that it's bad. And God says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Satan say you're broke. But I say that my God supplies all my needs. Satan say you're hungry. But I say my hungry soul, he feeds. See, don't you be the one. Don't allow circumstances to brighten and darken. Don't allow your circumstances. They temporary. Circumstances are temporary. But our God is, though he's as young as yesterday, he's the ancient of days. He's going to be around tomorrow, and he was here before you got here. He can do what nobody else can do for you. So let's look at how we have to look at things. When it comes down to it, Joseph didn't allow what he went through to dictate where he was going to. Now, Joseph could have called his brothers down there and pistol whooped them and told them off and told them how bad they were and told them that they was terrible and I'm about to put you in the salt mines. He could have brought them down there and treated them bad. But instead of allowing his past to dictate his future, he allowed God to allow him to be a channel of blessing. So rather than him suffering and treating his brothers bad, you know what? He brought them down there, treated them good, and all he asks is, look, all I want y'all to do is make sure my bones go when y'all go. Take my children up out of here. Take my people up out of here. See, the fact of the matter is, when you're a good father, sometimes you have to, sometimes you don't eat. Anybody ever work too many hours, just get home, you got to choose between sleep and eat. You got to choose between, you come in, and the plate in the microwave, but you too tired to even think that. One day I just came in. I don't smell no food. I guess she didn't cook. Oh, well, just went to bed. And woke up. Why you ain't eat? Eat. I was too tired to eat. Why? Because I was trying to feed my family. Let me tell y'all something. God has a way of doing things for you that you won't believe. Now, y'all may not believe this, but I'm scared of heights. But for 8 years, I was climbing them poles until God really made, we ain't supposed to fear, but for some reason, I remember it just as plain as day. I was up there, I did what I was supposed to, and then I was scared to unhook and climb down. And I'm just up there, man, I don't know what it was. I just did not want to unhook that belt. And I said, I won't be here tomorrow. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. I can't do this no more. But you know what? I did it. And I did stuff that I wouldn't. Ordinary folks just don't climb poles without ladders. And just we don't do that stuff. We're not monkeys. But I did it, and all the while, I got to feed my family. Got to feed my family. Fathers, listen to this. You got to feed my family. And sometimes you feel like, I get this nonsense these kids tell me, I'm too good to flip burgers. Well, if you ain't flipped open a book, no, you ain't. Don't get the wrong impression. You too good to flip burgers. Well, there's a science to flipping burgers. You too good to starve? Then you might want to flip some. Well, then start on fries. But do some. Doubt and fear says that it's bad, but God says I'm good. The difference between conviction and condemnation. You got to know this, saints. Conviction is the awareness of sin and a need to get rid of it. Write that down. You might want to know that later. Conviction is the difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is the awareness of sin and a need to get rid of it. But condemnation is final judgment of sin reserved for God, not man. Condemnation causes people to stay away from the throne of God. You know how I know? My spirit won't dwell with man always. When God judged somebody, I don't care what's going on in that person's life, they'll be able to sit in church, hear the word of God. Folks can sing till their hair stand up on the back of their neck, and when the altar call come, they sitting there cleaning their nails. You know what I figured out? You know, I don't know about y'all, but before God saved me, I'd go to church and right about altar time. I mean, I had it down to a science. Right about the time he would call for the altar, I'd give him the finger. Got to go bathroom break, some kind of break, but I'm out of here because the Lord was pulling on me. Everything the man was saying almost seemed like he was following me. They ain't even have personal video cameras back then. Just seemed like he was all in my Facebook page, and that wasn't invented yet. Like he was all in my text message. That wasn't invented. It was like the guy knew exactly what I was doing. But just let me enlighten you. Sin, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't nobody have to follow a sinner home to know that sinners sin. I mean, yeah, y'all know that. Haters hate, sinners sin, drinkers drink, lies lie, cheaters cheat, crackheads smoke crack, thieves steal. Yeah, I mean, you know, the list goes on. Don't nobody have to follow you around. So I'm sitting there all convicted, wondering, why is this man always bothering me, man? I like this guy till he started preaching. He was all right till he started ringing my doorbell. What's wrong with this guy, man? Is anybody else? Don't God got something to say to somebody else? You better be glad God's still talking to you. You better be glad. If you're not saved and you still getting your heart pulled on, you better be happy. Because the day will come when you just want somebody to lather you up. Ain't a man all right? Ain't a man all right? A, B, C, E, F, G, H, I, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, and V. Now I said my tummy up. ABCs. Next time. Say it with me. And you up hot. Man, did he preach and I ain't said nothing but my ABCs. See, that's what the enemy wants to do to you. The enemy wants you to just be entertained instead of convicted. The enemy wants you to get happy about some nonsense instead of knowing that no matter what you're going through, God wants to take you through because he's trying to get you to something that he's already promised you. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to do you good and not evil, plans to bring you to expected end. In other words, God's already waiting on you at the finish line. But, hey, if that's what you want, preachers will do it for you. They'll just say your ABCs, talk about cornbread, ham hocks and ham. Hey, I mean, if you really want to get somebody excited, you just start talking about Thanksgiving dinner. Greens in the pot. Y'all don't hear me. Cornbread. Y'all ain't listening. So we got to understand that condemnation is only reserved for God. We ain't no sense me condemning you. I ain't got no heaven or hell to put you in. All right? But I do want you to understand that when God is tugging at your heart, you got to stop blocking the sunshine. You got to start understanding that complaining don't fix nothing. Complaining just informs the devil that he's working. Complaining makes sure the devil know that everything he's doing to you is working. Let me tell y'all something. I've been down this road. I've seen too much in these short life of mine. Listen, I used to come home sometime and just be off, and I done already purposed in my heart that if she act crazy, I'm leaving right back out the door. Don't miss this, because I'm going to help y'all. So I walk in. I'm going to tell you when God saved me. I come in, and she looked at me and said, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all right." She was like, "All right, some food in the microwave. I'm going to bed." Food? That sounds like arsenic. Oh, I didn't come in late at night. It was the next day. I'm thinking food. Oh, she done hooked me up some special. some Earth to White Throne Judgment type dinner. I start thinking, oh, no. The Bible declares that when you treat folks good that despitefully use you, it's like heaping hot coals, fire. And that's for real, because I start thinking, wait a minute, dinner? After this nonsense? Wait a minute. Maybe God's trying to tell me something. Maybe I might need a cupbearer before I eat this dinner. People. So, but she could have blocked the sunshine. She could have stopped me from getting saved by throwing something at me, calling me all type names, speaking in tongues at me, unknown tongues, you know, saying stuff that she don't normally say because I'm wrong. But if God got somebody that's right, all he need is one person right. All he need is one right person that'll live right no matter how you act, and God will make sure that if you're doing the right thing, that your right will be amplified. I start thinking in my mind, I can't be this stupid. How in the world am I going to act like this? So what happens? I go to the doctor with her, and they ultrasound, and I see this little boy. Now God really pulling on me. This worse than an altar call. I'm looking and I'm thinking, my daddy, he ain't never act like this in front of me. There, and I'm acting like this. So if my son see me acting like this, how much more the devil will he be? I start trying to quit on my own. But self-help don't help. Self-help will put you right back into the place you were. In need of a savior. So, on the way home, all in my head, I'm thinking, this is crazy. Something got to give. But I can do it. I can do it. I can beat this. I can't do nothing. I had to decrease and allow God to do it. And I remember sitting in there listening to Bishop Kobe talk, and I'm thinking, would this man shut up and just call somebody to the altar because I need to get there? Because ain't no way I can be no father acting like no kid. Are you with me? Ain't no way I can put shades in front of my son's eyes and make him see a man that ain't a man. So, we got to learn how not to block God's blessing in our life. when praying is not enough. Do you not know that when you're done praying, you better get up and walk in faith? Some of us, you know, I used to hear her praying that God save my husband. But until she start, well, you know what? I'm just going to do my part. And when I do my part, God, you do your part. But as long as I got an excuse, man, ain't no sense me going there. She's just going to throw a 40-ounce at me and she's just going to hit me with a trophy or something. You know, ain't no sense me going home. Live right. Act right. And you'll win. That's how you win folks to Christ. You can't be involved in everything they do and do everything they say and laugh at all the ridiculous jokes that the devil tell. And then you're, hey, why don't you come to church? Why? We've been at my church all day. Y'all know that? Folks at work be watching you. So we got to learn how to trust God and trust the way he leads us and allow him to lead us. And when we get there, we'll look back and your soul will look back and wonder. And do you not know that every time I think about when I got saved, I think about how decisions changed in my life. I think about how things that I, you know, and I know, whatever you got inside of you that you thinking you need to hold on to, it's keeping you from having what God wants you to have. Y'all know that? Some of us are scared to give up the little we got. And rather than give up the little we got, we won't get what God really has for us. You know, there's an old African proverb. Anybody that's ever watched Shaka Zulu, he said, how do you catch a monkey? Any of y'all remember that? And he said, well, you put a shiny coin inside of a jar. And the monkey will stick his hand in there and grab the coin. But rather than let that coin go and get his hand out the jar, he'll hold on to the little he got and lose his life. Well, that's the way the enemy treats us. He'll make us think, well, you know, I ain't going to give up this boyfriend. Who going to pay my light bill? The same person that's paying your gas, the same person that's paying your water, and the same person that's paying your rent. You know, some of us be so narrow-minded and we don't really understand how the enemy will treat us. We'll block God's blessing because we so focused on this little bitty thing. Well, Pastor, if I put this boyfriend out, God's going to make a way. He been doing it all along. The sun will definitely shine again. If you allow the Son of God into your life, you won't have to worry about that. And I thought about it. I said to myself, man, this don't make no sense, you know, because I grew up in church and I was thinking to myself, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I done got myself in so much trouble. But you know what? My budget already had beer and liquor figured into it. So when I got saved and dropped the spirits out, the enemy has a way of tricking you. I'm sitting there, man, it's about to be tight. But I still had that other stuff in it. I got to church, I'm like, where this extra money come from? I couldn't believe how much I was spending on flesh worship. 10% ain't nothing when it come to being demon-possessed and all the ignorance we do. Men, you're in charge for a reason.
have been listening to the Impact Hour with Pastor Timothy Jones. Thank you for listening. I love you with the love of Christ. Until next time, remember, when you come out of the storm, you're not the same person that went into the storm. God bless you.